I'd like to call to order the New York City Housing Development Corporation Board meeting of Friday, March 31, 2023. Please note that today's meeting is being held via WebEx in accordance with the New York State Open Meetings Law. I'd like the minutes to reflect the presence of a quorum. Item number two on our agenda is approval of the minutes of the annual members meeting held on November 30th, 2022. I'll entertain a motion now to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. It's my honor now to introduce the president of HDC, who will present the president's report. Eric?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Commissioner, and thank you to all of the board members joining today. I want to keep my report to you this morning a little bit brief. We have a full agenda, and we also may want to leave a little bit more room for any questions that may come up. It's a volatile time in the world, so there might be a few more questions, and we just want to be prepared for that. But I do want to take a couple moments to acknowledge the time we're in and thank our HDC team for their nimbleness, as always, creativity, and diligence as we continue to navigate this volatile financial environment that we're all in. As you'll be hearing this morning, HDC persists in its efforts to successfully finance the creation and preservation of affordable housing throughout the city while helping to preserve the city's public housing stock, all during a particularly challenging economic moment. As always, our teams have also ensured that HDC's financial position remains strong so that we can continue this work. And we know that safe, quality, affordable housing becomes even more critical during times of uncertainty. So after a report from the audit committee by HDC Board Vice Chair Harry Gould, our first Executive Vice President Ruth Marrera will seek your approval for several items related to HDC's financing efforts. Ruth will then request your approval for the use of HDC's corporate reserves for the Capacity Accelerator Program, a partnership and funding swap agreement with the city's Department of Housing Preservation and Development that will strategically support capacity at our partner agency. Following that, Executive Vice President and General Counsel Susanna Lipsight will ask you to approve a resolution related to video conferencing for future board meetings. Executive Vice President for Capital Markets and Investments Ellen Duffy will present and request ratification of the investment report. Ruth will then be back to request your approval of several declarations of intent for a number of proposed affordable housing developments. With that, I'll conclude my report so that we can get on to the important business at hand this morning. Thank you again to the members of the board for all you do to support HDC's work and to the entire HDC team. Commissioner, back to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eric. We move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the report of the audit committee. And for that, I call on Harry Gould.
Thank you. The audit committee met on January 13, 2023, at which time the members approved the corporation's fiscal year 2022 annual financial statements. The auditors, Ernst & Young, issued a clean opinion, and there were no management letter comments once again this year. Also at the January 13th meeting, the 2022 annual investment report was approved, which will be presented for ratification at this meeting. And finally, the 2022 annual HDC audit committee report was approved as well. The members also met prior to this meeting, at which time the fiscal year 2023 second quarter internal audit plan was approved. The members also reviewed the 2023 first quarter financials, another investment, debt, credit, and internal audit reports. There was also a quality assurance report presented by BDO as part of an external quality assessment review of the internal audit department. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Harry. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act and for the purposes of discussing the next items on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee. Approval of amendments to the 2018 Series L Supplemental Resolution, Amendment to the Funding Loan Agreement for MEC 125 Parcel B West, and the approval of several mortgage loans. And for these items, I call on Ruth Moreira. Ruth?
Good morning. Good morning, Commissioner. Good morning, everyone. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve amendments to the 276 Supplemental Resolution of the Corporation's Multifamily Housing Revenue Bonds 2018 Series L1 and L2 for the Hunters Point South North Tower and Hunters Point South South Tower developments. The members are also asked to approve an amendment to a funding loan agreement to increase the maximum amount of the corporation's recycled volume cap debt obligations for the related MEC 125th Parcel B West development by $10 million to preserve additional volume cap received from the New York State Housing Finance Agency, HFA. In addition, the members are asked to approve the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the open resolution to finance the preservation of four developments in Manhattan and the Bronx, also referred to here as the Highliner portfolio. I am also pleased to mention that earlier this morning, the members of the REMIC board approved the execution of an agreement to participate in the REMIC Sunny Mae Risk Share Insurance Program. The program is expected to provide mortgage insurance for large loans made by the corporation. The maximum loan amount under the proposed agreement would be the greater of $75 million or $250,000 per dwelling unit. Under the agreement, the maximum policy coverage percentage would equal 50% of certain of the corporation's senior permanent mortgages in the open resolution, with REMIC and Sunny Mae each responsible for insuring 25% of the original principal balance loan. The corporation uses a variety of permanent credit enhancement products in the open resolution, and staff believe that the addition of the REMIC Sunny Mae Risk Share Insurance Program will be an important tool for providing diverse options for the corporation's core lending programs. On November 20th, 2018, the members approved the issuance of the 2018 Series L bonds solely for the financing of a portion of the mortgage loans for the Hunters Point South, North Tower, and South Tower developments. The 2018 Series L bonds were issued as tax-exempt multimodal bonds initially in the term rate term mode for approximately 5 years, corresponding to the anticipated construction term of the developments. The members also approved the remarketing of the 2018 Series L bonds into variable rate bonds to be supported by a liquidity facility provider on or around the time of conversion of the developments to their permanent phases. The members are currently being asked to approve amendments to the 2018 Series L Supplemental Resolution to modify the maximum rate of the 2018 Series L1 and L2 bonds in connection with their upcoming remarketings into variable rate bonds supported by a liquidity facility provider. The increased maximum rate will align the 2018 Series L bonds with the maximum rates for other currently issued bonds by the corporation. On November 20th, 2018, the members also approved a funding loan agreement with Citibank to receive funds from Citibank that were loaned by the corporation to the borrower as a standalone construction financing for the MEC 125th Parcel B West development. Pursuant to the funding loan agreement, Citibank agreed to fund a portion of the senior construction loan initially with taxable proceeds, resulting in a participation in the applicable portion of the construction loan. As recycled volume cap became available over the course of the scheduled construction period for the qualified tax-exempt financing portion, the corporation issued tranches of debt obligations resulting in the refinancing of a portion of Citibank's taxable participation loan into a loan financed with tax-exempt proceeds. The members are currently being asked to amend the funding loan agreement to increase the maximum amount of the corporation's recycled volume cap debt obligations for the development by $10 million to preserve additional recycled volume cap received from New York State HFA. The increase will not change the permanent loan amount for the MEC 125th Parcel B West development, but will facilitate the use of tax-exempt financing for the corporation's obligation to purchase Citibank's interest in a construction loan for the project, as originally anticipated when presented to the members in 2018. The corporation also expects to finance in an amount not expected to exceed $29,062,000 with its unrestricted reserves and or available funds in the open resolution, mortgage loans for the acquisition and financing of four developments. In the aggregate, the developments would preserve approximately 309 rental homes in Manhattan and the Bronx. The proposed acquisition and financing of these four developments, which are currently in the corporation's portfolio, is expected to refinance the existing debt and provide additional financing to the new borrowers. The new financing will facilitate the acquisition of the Highlander portfolio and fund a small rehabilitation scope at the properties. For more information on these developments, please see attachment 1-4. More detail on the developments, as well as risks and fees associated with the bonds, are outlined in the memorandum for you. Are there any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I am required by the Conflict of Interest Board to disclose that members of my firm, but not I, particularly those in our California office, do some work for Citibank. I do not, never have. I'm therefore not required to recuse.
We'll let the record show that, and thank you.
If there are no other questions, Susanna will present the authorizing resolutions.
Thank you, Ruth. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of the amendments to the 276th supplemental resolution for the 2018 Series L bonds. In addition, the members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for an amendment to the funding loan agreement for MEC 125th Parcel B West, and the execution of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the issuance of the MEC 125th Parcel B West funding loan debt obligations and the financing of the related loan. Lastly, the members are requested to approve the making of certain senior and subordinate loans in an amount not expected to exceed $29,062,000 from unrestricted reserves and or available funds for four preservation projects in the Highlander portfolio, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the senior and subordinate financing. Thank you. You're on mute, Commissioner.
All right, thank you. I'll entertain a motion now to approve the amendments to the 2018 Series L supplemental resolution, an amendment to the funding loan agreement for the MEC 125th Parcel B West, and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by the members described in the memo before you.
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. Thank you very much. We move now to item number 6 on our agenda, which is the approval of corporate reserves to fund HPD's Capacity Accelerator Program. And for purposes of this item, the chair calls on Ruth Moreira once again.
Thank you. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the corporation's use of unrestricted corporate reserves in an amount not expected to exceed $12.8 million for the purpose of participating in a funding swap with the New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development relating to a new capacity accelerated program, CAP, or the program, to increase HPD's staff capacity and processes for all of its multifamily affordable housing transactions. The program will further HDC's goals of creating and preserving affordable housing across New York City and advance a key pillar of Mayor Eric Adams' Housing Our Neighbors, a blueprint for housing and homelessness. The program will be funded by the corporation, and in exchange, the corporation will receive an equal amount of city capital funds from HPD to be used for one or more HDC project loans to be subsequently approved by the members. After the significant and prolonged upheaval of the COVID pandemic, New York City has witnessed remarkable signs of recovery in the last year. While the city's labor market has largely rebounded, the city continues to face a significant staffing challenge as hiring has yet to catch up with staff attrition. The Adams administration is prioritizing and deepening its efforts to help agencies fill more than 23,000 vacancies, including more than 400 vacant posts at HPD. At the same time, the city has committed significant capital resources to housing in order to achieve the goals laid out in the mayor's housing blueprint, with an increase of $7.92 billion in the 10-year capital strategy. In order to ensure those capital funds are allocated to affordable housing projects efficiently and effectively, HPD needs sufficient staff capacity. HPD is working aggressively to hire staff and has made marked progress in recent months, but has identified urgent capacity needs in the offices of development and legal affairs that must be addressed on an interim basis in order to meet the city's critical affordable housing goals. To accelerate capacity at HPD, HDC is expected to enter into a memorandum of understanding with HPD to establish a dedicated account from unrestricted corporate reserves to be used to fund the Capacity Accelerator Program. Through the CAP, HDC will pay for temporary staffing, outside counsel and consultants for development work, legal services, the training of HPD staff, or to review and recommend process improvements for multifamily affordable housing transactions. The corporation will finance the CAP pursuant to the MOU with HPD for a period of 3 years, which may be extended upon mutual agreement by HDC and HPD. The funding amount is sized based on HPD's estimate of temporary staffing and other services to manage the pipeline for New York City through fiscal year 2026. In exchange, for the corporation providing funding for the CAP, HPD will grant funds to HDC for one or more new construction or preservation projects financed by the corporation that will be presented to the members at a future date in an amount equal to the corporation's allocation to the CAP account. HPD's funding of the HDC project loans will be in lieu of the corporation using its own unrestricted reserves for such loans pursuant to HDC's programs and term sheets. More detail in the Capacity Accelerator Program, as well as associated risks and costs, are outlined in the memorandum before you. Are there any questions?
I just want to know how I can get in on this gig.
Thank you for that question, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
May the record reflect that I abstain from this vote.
The record will reflect that. Thank you, Mr. Merdler. hearing no other questions.
If there are no other questions, the members are requested to authorize the use of up to $12.8 million of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to fund the CAP account to pay for temporary services to increase HPD staff capacity and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of contracts that conform to the eligible uses and any other documents necessary to accomplish the Capacity Accelerator Program.
Just one quick question. These employees won't be civil servant staff. They're like provisional. Is that how they're being hired?
Some they're going to be hired through temporary contracts. Mm-hmm. And there will also be some of the firms, consulting firms, will be hired to provide training for existing HPD development staff.
Okay.
So I think the fuller answer too might be, and Susanna, correct me if that's wrong, but I think it, or Commissioner, I think it's going to be more likely through temp contracts. So
yes, it is.
No permanent employees. It's temporary through temp contracts or consultant.
And in the backdrop, HPD will be doing its own hiring to actually get to the capacity. So that's why this is really like a temporary bridge concept.
Yeah, basically, they will run in tandem with our efforts, but we need immediate capacity to keep up with demand and accelerate our production of housing. We suffered most deeply in our preservation work. We had a banner year last year in our new construction, but the preservation work, which represents 65-70% of the work we do, suffered the most because of a lack of staffing here. So that's the purpose of this.
I'll move for approval.
Thank you. We have a second to approve the use of corporate reserves to fund the HPD Capacity Accelerator Program. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We have an abstention already recorded. The motion carries. Thank you, members. We move on to the next item. Item number 7 on the agenda is the approval of a resolution and related written procedures governing use of video conferencing during public meetings pursuant to the open meetings law. And for this item, I call on Susanna Lipsight.
Thank you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members adopt a resolution and written procedures to permit the use of video conferencing by members in public meetings in certain circumstances pursuant to the New York State Open Meetings Law as set forth in Public Officers Law, Article 7, Section 103A. The New York State Legislature permitted state and local government meetings to be held remotely to reduce the need for the congregation at public meetings while a state or local state of emergency due to the COVID-19 pandemic was in effect. New York State's COVID-19 state of emergency expired in September. A New York City mayoral emergency executive order extending the COVID-19 state of emergency is currently in effect. In April 2022, to address how public meetings can be held when there is no state or local state of emergency in effect, the New York State Legislature amended the Open Meetings Law to authorize public bodies to permit members who experience extraordinary circumstances to attend meetings through video conferencing. The term extraordinary circumstances includes disability, illness, caregiving responsibilities, or any other significant or unexpected factor or event which precludes the member's physical attendance at such meeting. Please note, a member who is participating from a remote location due to an extraordinary circumstance shall not count toward a quorum. All members must be seen, heard, and identified while the meeting is being conducted, and there must be a quorum present in the same physical location where the public can attend. A public body can use video conferencing to conduct its meeting pursuant to Open Meetings Law, Section 103A, only if the board adopts the resolution following a public hearing on the proposed written procedures that it wishes to adopt. The HDC public hearing for this matter occurred on March 30th, 2023. This provision of the Open Meetings Law will expire on July 1, 2024. More information can be found in the proposed written procedures and resolution attached to your memos. Are there any questions? Okay. The members are asked to adopt the proposed resolution and written procedures and authorize the corporation's staff to implement the written procedures in compliance with Open Meetings Law, Section 103A.
Moved.
Thank you for the motion to approve the resolution related to written procedures governing the use of video conferencing during public meetings. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, members. We now move to item number 8 on our agenda, which is the ratification of the New York City Housing Development Corporation's 2022 annual investment report. And for that purpose, I call on Ellen Duffy, please.
Thank you, Commissioner. The annual investment report for the corporation and its subsidiaries have been prepared pursuant to Section 2925 of the Public Authorities Law of New York State. The report presents a corporation's investment record for fiscal year 2022. As required by statute, the report includes the investment record of the corporation, investment guidelines as approved by the audit committee members on January 13, 2023, and the results of the 2022 annual independent audit. The 2022 annual investment report was presented and approved by the audit committee on January 13, 2023. At this time, the members are asked to ratify the audit committee's approval of the report. Upon ratification by the members, the report will be submitted to the mayor and to both the city and state controllers, as required by the public authorities law. Are there any questions?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Merdler, for that quick motion to ratify the audit committee's approval of the New York City Housing Development Corporation's 2022 annual investment report. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, members. We move now to item number 9 on the agenda, which is the approval of declaration of intent resolutions. For that purpose, I once again call on Ruth Moreira.
Thank you. As you know, declaration of intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project's developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax-exempt bond financing. Before HDC were to actually finance a project, the specifics of the transaction would be presented to the members for review and approval. Please refer to the memorandum before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, Carmen Villegas Apartments, Manhattan, New York. The proposed development will consist of the new construction of 128-story building containing a total of 218 residential low-income rental units to be located in the East Harlem neighborhood of Manhattan, using approximately $114,780,000 in tax-exempt bonds. If the project is to be developed by a single purpose entity to be formed and controlled by members of Ascendant Neighborhood Development Corporation, Urban Builders Collective, and Xylem Projects. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
So moved.
Thank you. Thank you for the motion to approve the declaration of intent resolution for the Carmen Villegas Apartments located at 101 East 110th Street in New York City. Do we have a second for that motion?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Chairman, I would like to abstain on the following ground. This project is overwhelmingly, if not almost entirely, studio apartments. Okay. As the mayor has pointed out in several points, and you certainly have, sir, over a year of excellent service. We need family apartments, not studios. We need to provide housing for families so that families can live. This is overwhelmingly, I think it's 170-odd studios out of the building. I therefore must abstain.
The record will show your, record your abstention. And just,
Commissioner, one point too, as well, to address Mr. Mertler's comments. So this particular development, it's being financed under HDC's ELLA program, but it's also jointly financed by HPD's SARA program, which is the Seniors Affordable Rental Program. And it's the SARA program is 100% seniors.
And I withdraw my abstention. I withdraw it. That was not clear to me from the documents I read.
Let the record show that Mr. Mertler withdrew his abstention with the understanding that the smaller units are for older New Yorkers, no longer referred to as senior citizens. So we have a motion. We had a second to that motion. It sounded like we had almost everyone in favor and no opposition. If I'm correct, the motion carries. We move on to another item. Ms. Moreira?
Please refer to the memorandum before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, Pact Edenwald Houses, Bronx, New York. The proposed development will consist of the rehabilitation of a 42-building portfolio containing a total of 2,035 residential low-income rental units to be located in the Eastchester neighborhood of the Bronx, using approximately $495,264,000 in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by CSA Preservation Partners, LLC, and the New York City Housing Authority. CSA consists of Camber Property Group, Hench Development, LLC, and Stuart Alexander and Associates. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the declaration of intent resolution for Pact Edenwald Houses.
Chairman, I apologize for doing this again. I am required by the Conflict of Interest Board to disclose that members of my firm, but not I, represent from time to time L&M, which is involved in this project. That does not require me to recuse myself, but I must make that disclosure. I will have to make it one other matter too.
Thank you, Mr. Mertler, for that disclosure, and the record will reflect that. Again, do we have a second on the motion?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, members. We have two more items. Ruth?
Please refer to the memorandum before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, PACT Frederick Samuel Apartments, Manhattan, New York. The proposed development will consist of the rehabilitation of a 40-building portfolio containing a total of 664 residential low-income rental units to be located in the Harlem neighborhood of Manhattan, using approximately $110,857,000 in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by SAM City Collaborative, LLC, and the New York City Housing Authority. SAM City consists of Genesis Harlem City, LLC, and LHD SAM City, LLC. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Thank you, Ruth.
So moved.
Thank you for the motion to approve the Declaration of Intent resolution for PACT Frederick Samuel Apartments. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any opposition? All in favor? Sorry.
Aye.
Anyone opposed to this? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries, and we have one last item. Ruth?
Please refer to the memorandum before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent, Willits Point, Queens, New York. The proposed development will consist of the new construction of two 12-story buildings containing a total of 881 residential low, moderate, and middle-income rental units to be located in Queens using approximately $290 million in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by members of the related companies and Sterling Equities. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Thank you, Ruth. I'll entertain a motion to approve the Declaration of Intent resolution for Willits Point.
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before the vote, I'm required, pursuant to the Conflict of Interest Board resolutions, to note that members of my firm, but not I, represent both Willits, both Sterling and related.
Related.
But I do not never have, oh, I did have years ago, 20 plus years ago. I'm not required to recuse.
The record will show that, and we appreciate the clarity all the time. Quite a busy firm there, Mr. Mertler.
We can.
I will now call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, this motion carries. So at this time, I'd like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HDC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion?
Moved.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, ma'am. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Members, we now move to the final item of our agenda today, which is other business. Anyone have anything else that they would like to bring up to the
chair? I would like the record to reflect a comment, which
yes, sir.
I would like to congratulate the chair and the president for the perfectly superb job they and their staff have done under the most trying of circumstances to again make New York City the Empire City of the world. And I thank them.
Thank you, Mr. Mertler. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there...
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, sir.
I wonder if I could ask the president to address the impact of Signature Bank's recent travails on HDC's portfolio.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, we're happy to address it, and we also have a full team on to add any clarity that might be required. We feel we are in a very strong position at this point. We did have investments with Signature. We discussed some of this in audit and with individual board meetings, board members over the last couple of weeks, but those investments were entirely secure through collateralized letters of credit that are remain in place. We also, in conversations with the bank and FDIC, have explicit guarantees of full coverage above the FDIC limit. So it's kind of a belt and suspenders at that point. So we feel like we're in a very solid position now. Even with the transition, those letters of credit have transitioned over to the new bank, and Ellen Duffy's on and can speak a little bit more about this in a second. She spoke about it in our audit meeting as well. So we feel like we're in a good place, but I do want to add, and this came up in audit with another board member, Denise Scott brought it up, and we kind of went through it a little bit. We do expect some probable credit tightening from, as people look at, you know, counterparty risk, and we're hearing of that and seeing some of that. And we're also seeing, you know, some of this is, as it always does, it's multifaceted and is likely going to ripple through the real estate side of the world as well. So we're kind of watching that in partnership with HPD and team and with the state as well. We're all kind of coordinated to see what comes out of that, both in terms of risk and opportunity. So Ellen, I don't know if you might want to say a little bit more, or Mr. Nyblak, if you have other comments here, questions you want to add to that.
Sure, I can just, you know, that in accordance with our investment guidelines, any deposits we have with banks that are under the two highest rating categories have to be collateralized. And most of our bank deposits are collateralized with a letter of credit from the Federal Home Loan Bank, 100%. Actually, at the time signature, you know, the events happened with signature, we were over collateralized with a letter of credit. We had about 100 million more than we had deposits. And then anything that, and there's only one bank, and we're working to get with them to try and get a Federal Home Loan Bank letter of credit, is collateralized U.S. government securities at 103, and we do mark that to market daily. We did a credit review working with our credit department of every bank. We spoke to many of the presidents of the various banks we invest with, you know, and we looked at their 10-Ks to see what was held to maturity versus, you know, what's available for sale, and feel comfortable with the bank that we'll do a continuous monitoring. And we also are looking to, we can only invest in government securities, but we are buying more treasury bills and overnight repo, which the repo is fully collateralized as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ellen. And Commissioner Nyblak, thank you for bringing that question up. I want to acknowledge the teams at HDC, your staff and your team over at Department of Finance, who helped us dig up some information, and also my folks here at HPD. There was a big mobilization to take a quick look at this as soon as Silicon Valley Bank news broke. And then when we heard about Signature, the mobilization was even more aggressive. And we're keeping an eye on developments as they happen. So thank you to everybody who's been right on top of this.
Mr. Chairman, I have another, actually this could be moved to the next time we meet. If we could get from the staff an update on what's going on over at NYCHA.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Scott. We'll add that, Eric, to our next.
We're really happy to do that. As you know, Commissioner, we just briefed you in detail. So Denise, we absolutely want to do that. And we've been promising an update, and we prepared one and briefed the chair first, and we would be happy to go to individual members or in groups below quorum. We'd be happy to do that to speak with you.
Great.
Mr. Mertler as well. Yeah. Denise, I do appreciate everyone's interest in that, because it's actually probably one of the biggest challenges we're all facing right now in the housing preservation world. So happy to do that.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Thank you very much for that. That's important. Okay. There being no other business.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn. Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition to adjourning? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, members.